Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer-Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. They don't let friends feed kibble now, do they, Neely Piazza?
Absolutely not. I gave out a lot of Dr. Brady's books for Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much agrees with me. 95%, basically, we're pretty right on par with each other, about 95% of everything in that book.
Well, what's new? I mean, come on, Niels, you gotta know that you know that you know that you know. Right?
Yeah, but it's nice to have somebody else coming out and saying the truth also. So, you know.
It is very much.
Sometimes it feels like you're fighting an uphill battle. So.
Well, we're going to fight an uphill battle because this word is crazy. Z-E-E.
Yeah.
Cray, cray, Z. All the stuff that we've been fighting for, we're finding out that they said there's not one study that shows that masks work, period. And then if you just put it in between all the other lunacy about this so-called COVID virus, where there's still people saying, oh, well, I have COVID. Well, how do you know if you're using a bogus test?
I just don't understand how people are, like, at this point, okay with this.
I went into a convenience store and they had a TV on. And of course, it was one of your,
mainstream.
And they still had a doctor from New York pushing the vax and pushing mask. I was like, where have you been?
In New York, apparently.
Well, all right, so you know what I got my family? I literally, Niels, I got one for each family. I got the water wand.
From Dr. Cowan?
From Dr. Cowan. It's actually from Rolf, Dolph is his name. But
oh,
Cowan.
Yeah.
But they're on Cowan's site. I'm sure that my family thought I was nuts, but I also got them all a bottle of seawater.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one on there too? And I really want Dr. Cowan to come on the podcast because, you know, what we talk about so much about why the raw dog food diet is so important because of water. Right now, he's going to go further. I would love for him to go further into water. And water is important to us. It's important to our dogs, but not just any old water. Right. And there's a whole thing about a congruent and structured water
and the fourth phase of water and all that stuff. He's doubling down on stuff now. It's like, okay, I'm taking the gloves off. We're going cell theory and viral theory and contagion theory and germ theory and basically everything that people have thought they've known about biology is going completely out the window because it's all bogus. And he's like really going on it now. And it's not that hard to find evidence. Which is why he's doing it, because people are ignoring proof that all this other stuff is not true. You know, they're just burying the truth. And that goes beyond the COVID nonsense and all that. I mean, you know, we're talking about cell structure and receptors and protein formation and of course you know about his heart book and you know, cell membranes and sodium potassium pumps and just all that stuff that is quote unquote common knowledge in biology is all fake.
And I will say this, it does take a while for you to get your arms around it, right? So
it really does, because we've been so indoctrinated in it. And, you know, when you grow up, believe, you know, it's just everywhere. And you really have to, one, have an open mind, and two, step back and look at it objectively and be like, take away all the dogma and all the preconceived notions and all that, and like be like, oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, so anyway, well, it's very liberating.
It is liberating, and it's also unstabilizing. Let me just say that.
Well, to other people, maybe.
No, it's still unstabilizing to me, and I'll give you a for instance. So the vitamin D, and you sent me over the break, you said, hey, this may be important.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about some of the stuff that we've talked about, and I know how certain people feel about it. And you might should know about this.
Well, not only that, but you know, when we're talking about dogs and we're saying, hey, have you had their vitamin D levels checked? And
yeah, exactly my point.
And so he was talking about, you want to know, now I don't know how you do the first part, Niels, with dogs. Okay, so the first part for humans, he says, get outside midday, 15 minutes, get the sun on your skin. As much skin as you can.
Well, dogs just have to get it in their diet because they don't make it like people do. So they have to, it has to come from animal sources for animals that have been out in the sun. So, and the whole, you know, we went back and forth, or I was questioning this several months ago and you kind of called me on it, but the whole, because of my views on fat, which really haven't changed.
There we go. I wondered if you were going there.
Yeah. So that is one of the places that you get it is from appropriate animal fat, liver, and organs, and all that. Yeah, but
it's real food. It's real food. It's not in the synthetic.
It's real
form.
Food. You can't supplement it. You can't. And it, you know, like that. If you want to talk about that balance it thing too, that's just ludicrous.
If you have medical issues, right, your dog is allergic to this, allergic to that, he can't eat this, he can't eat that, you really want to sign up and work with Neely Piazza, who I am going to stick with what I say, one of the top pet nutritionists in the country. I don't know anybody that studies more than you do. And also from a homeopathic, a science, a canine, and an herbal spectrum.
I signed up for another year's worth of homeopathy today. I'm gonna do the master program.
nice. So, if you really want to get your pet stabilized, we have no shortage. We have no shortage of pet parents that believe that real food is going to hurt their dogs. And
I can't get my head around that. It's like how can you think that? I just can't.
Well, I'll tell you how they think it. They do the correlation, and the correlation does not mean causation. For instance, I have a sweet pet parent.
I know where this is going.
Trying to do the best for his dog. Now, as you know, I don't see the food that people are feeding, but he said he was feeding another raw company's beef blend and it made the dog sick. Now, he said, however, if I go and buy beef in the store and I add a bone supplement to it and some veggies, my dog doesn't get sick. Now, as you know, we all have to qualify what getting sick means. But very seldom, even if it was tainted, are we going to see a dog vomiting? I said, but just from the limited information that I have from you, I'm going to just suggest that it could be that your dog's not eating organs and he's not eating real bone. So, and I don't know the fat content of either one of the blends. So it could be a combination, but that doesn't mean that there was something wrong with that company's beef blend
Usually, I mean, you know, like you said, most all of them are, even if they're tainted, they're not going to make them sick. Your problem comes in with what is in it that is a toxin or a poison of some sort that over some amount of time is either going to lead to a toxin buildup or a deficiency or an over, you know, something like that.
Right. There's so many.
Right.
But I will say, although, yes, we may gain a new customer, it's not my business model to knock other companies unless they're kibble, unless they're intentionally, you know, toxic food. But so anyway, we will see. The other thing was that this particular dog had only been eating beef for almost 2 years. And I was like, that could be a problem.
That needs to change.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just one of the issues that we had. And for some reason lately, I gotta believe that there's something in the marketplace where people are really pushing. Because I'm getting these questions, and anytime I start getting questions, I know somebody's out there pushing it. Organs, I can only have this certain organ. And I had somebody today, rabbit, I need rabbit, venison. My dog can't eat any other organs. They're allergic to them. We don't see that, right? But what happens?
Yeah, it's not a thing.
What happens? They do these allergy tests. They do these allergy tests and they'll come up and they'll say all this stuff and they're still doing kibble.
The cold hard facts about allergy tests are, and this coming from someone that has went through this personally, not with my dogs, but with myself growing up. So I'm very familiar with this. Allergy tests are totally bogus. They're a minimum of 90% inaccurate. Plus, they're a snapshot in time. So, you know, I don't care what anybody says, and I don't care what anybody tells you about this test is better than that test is better than this test tells you this tells you that, and you just have to read it this way and that way. They are all bogus and a waste of money.
And we'll send you down a rabbit hole.
They will. Yeah, it's just one more thing to add to the fear factor. I'm to the point now where I don't believe in doing any kind of test at all. Just don't do it. What's the point?
Well, and the other thing too,
none of them tell you anything informative or even accurate. So just save your money and do something different.
Like look at your dog's body. But
yeah,
I think another thing that you and I, and you're further along in Dr. Cowan's research than I am. But one of the things that, you know, he contends is this: when you remove something from the body, you have totally changed its structure. You've totally changed the way it looks. You've totally changed it in its environment, and therefore you cannot make a true
you can't
assessment.
Make any assumptions. Right, because you've completely altered everything about it. So it doesn't tell you anything meaningful. If you take something out of its normal environment, it's the same thing, and it's the same concept with nutrients. How I'm always saying, you can't go by AFCO guidelines, NRC or FDA or any of that other nonsense, because he's got me using that word all the time. That's a Cowan word. Because you've taken it completely out of its element and looking at it from a reductionistic view, which tells you absolutely nothing meaningful. Nothing.
Right. It could be totally wrong and send you into
completely in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
and with the nutrient thing, not only is it individualized like that and completely out of its element, they're synthetic. So, you know, that balance it stuff, it says right on the label, from non-animal sources. Hello, there's your first tip off.
There's your clue.
Non-animal sources. Everything in it is completely synthetic. Based on AFCO numbers, which I just said are totally meaningless and misleading, and in some cases dangerous, so most minerals will come in like a sulfate form or an oxide form.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at any vitamin mineral mixes, there'll be sulfates and oxides, right? Okay, well, sulfates are rocks. Limestone, sedimentary rocks, and oxides are rust, oxidative damage, oxidative stress. So they're totally synthetic. Rocks and rust is what you're feeding your dog.
So I was speaking with someone today who is having some issues, right? And as we do, we always look at everything. And she was also doing cooked. Okay, so she was doing cooked, kibble, and raw. And she was having some issues.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah.
Well, because the vet
told
her
that... In the same dog?
Yes. The vet told her to add kibble to her cooked diet. And I said, well, the cooked diet, you know, probably doesn't have much nutritional value to it. She said, well, I'm doing the balance it. Okay. And
so
and the reason
kibble raw and balance it.
Yeah.
All at the same time?
Different times. But here's what was happening. This dog was having red, itchy paws. And I said, well, you could do this
it's
step
been
by step.
Snowing and the sidewalks are salted.
Well, that's one. But two, take the kibble totally out. Then let's stop cooking it and go to straight raw and a good raw. And let's not put any synthetics in there. So, you know, somebody recognized in the market that people were cooking for their dogs, and they decided to come up with this stuff called Balance It, which is what you just said, yeah. Niels. It's called Balance It Canine. Customized nutritional system, the supplement for the preparation of homemade dog food. Mm.
Yeah, it's been around for a while, and it's even most of the vets don't like it.
Well, on the front it says veterinary nutritionist designed. Well, what veterinary nutritionist?
And I've also said anytime is run. Yeah, run yelling and screaming from a veterinary nutritionist. I mean, they're going to tell you to put, those are the people that tell you to do boiled chicken and white
chicken
rice.
And rice. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they use that, even the, they use a software program that's called Balance It, I think. And, you know, you pick a protein, you pick a starch, which you shouldn't have starch in there. And they come up with all these ridiculous recipes. And it's like totally inappropriate from the stuff that they tell you and cook it. And from what they tell you to use, you might as well be feeding kibble. And then you add synthetic ground up rocks on top of it. I mean, God. Feed real food, people. This other stuff is just crap.
Well, first of all, you don't need iodine, zinc, magnesium, copper, iron, manganese, all that vitamin E, D2, and vitamin E in a synthetic form. It's in the food.
Exactly. Brady would call it a George Jetsonized nutrition pill or something like that. I don't know. He goes off on the George Jetson thing. Ooh. Which if you think about it, I get it. It's like, you know, they used to say in the future you won't have to eat anything, you can just take a pill and get all of your, which is basically what they're trying to do. And it's ridiculous. All that stuff is in the food, and it's the stuff that's in that packet is none of it's real. It says right on the thing, non-animal derived ingredients.
But you know what it does
say? Like they're proud of it.
You know what it does say right underneath it that gets people every time? free shipping.
FDA and APCO approved.
No, it just says free shipping. I mean,
shipping, yeah.
They're like, I don't care if it's $10 a pound. You give me free shipping, I'll get it. Okay. Yeah. That's just, you know.
That's funny.
Well,
you said you had some questions about that. So anyway, I just kind of went off on it because I had just looked at it before we got on. So.
Well, you pretty much answered it. You said it's useless. And first of all, stop.
It's not. It's more than useless. It's dangerous, to be honest. Yeah, and so stop too. Cooking. It's definitely dangerous. If you put that on real raw food, it's definitely dangerous.
Yeah, don't be doing 100%. That.
100%. And cooking, you know, some people will say that, my dog won't eat it unless it's cooked. It's because it like Amber Earl says, brown food tastes good. It's because you've gotten them used to the smell and the texture and the taste. And it definitely tastes different. It enhances the smell. It enhances the taste. And some people would argue that it makes it more easily digestible, but it's still not appropriate. I mean, if you have a dog that's on its last legs and won't eat anything and is fixing to die and you're trying to keep it happy, yeah, by all means, cook for it. You know, give it potato chips if you want to. At that point, it doesn't really matter. But if you have a sick dog or, you know, your normal healthy dog that you're just trying to keep on maintenance, cooking is not the way to go. I guess Rita would say there's a few instances where that's not necessarily true, at least temporarily. But and pancreatitis, if you have a dog that has bouts of pancreatitis, you definitely don't want to be cooking.
Okay, explain that one, because everybody sees that one totally backwards.
Because cooked fat is oxidized and toxic. Raw fat is not. Raw fat won't bother a pancreatic dog at all, unless they're like super, super, super far advanced. But cooked fat will send them into that really quick, and it's not... usually that's how it gets started, which kibble fat is rancid and cooked, but raw fat is fine as long as it's not. I mean, of course, you know, I never advocate for more than
10%,
10-ish, 12-ish percent anyway.
Yeah, I get you.
Give or take. I mean, you know, some dogs that are super hot, high energy, high metabolism, you know, sometimes you have to give them a little more fat to maintain weight, but for the most part, more than that is definitely not recommended.
You know, we were at my brother's house over the holiday, and we switched his lab to raw about, I think, 2 years ago. You cannot believe how this dog looks. It's a black dog. It is black. It is shiny. It is sleek. It's almost 10 years old. And this dog is amazing. She's a hunting dog. And his neighbor across the street has a lab. Doesn't even compare.
Yeah. Pudgy and bloated and dandruffy and dry and crispy hair.
Yeah. And they
stink. Labs in particular, kibble fed labs stink.
All kibble fed dogs stink.
They do, but labs in particular have this really weird smell about it. And I think it has something to do with being, because they have like different, oils in their skin because they're technically like water dogs, so they have like a little bit different, so they like really, they're the ones that you pet them and then your hand stinks for all day.
Ooh.
I mean all of them, yeah, all kibble dogs do, but labs in particular for some reason.
Yeah, I just it's so amazing the difference that you see and you will see in your pet. And, you know, again, we want to just stress that the first thing that you guys want to do, if you have issues, you have IBS, IBD, all of these diagnoses that basically what I've seen, Neely, is just inappropriate food, right? The majority of it is just inappropriate food
and over-toxicated in one way or another.
Right. Just like someone saying to me today, do you have these certain organs because my dog is allergic? And the first thing is, does your dog have leaky gut? You know, there's a lot of questions that I would ask why you think that the organs specifically, are you able to feed that protein, but just not the organs now? So I want to ask you a question. Could the organs be causing an issue from not too many organs, okay? Not overdoing the organs, like overdoing liver or overdo, but just specifically because it's a, you know, pork organ versus a beef
so
organ.
So usually, you know, if it, I'm not going to use the word allergic because I don't, it applies so very, very rarely. But if a dog has some sort of a sensitivity to a particular protein for whatever reason at that particular point in time, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have issues with that animal's organ. Like chicken, you know, a dog may have a problem with chicken, but they're fine with eggs or chicken feet or something like that. And beef, you know, some dogs, for whatever reason, have issues with, which I guess chicken and beef tend to be the most common that they have a sensitivity to, but they're usually fine with beef tripe and usually beef organs too. So it doesn't go hand in hand like that necessarily. Organs from different animals are different from each, you know, like a pork liver is different from a beef liver, is different from a chicken liver, is different from a duck liver, is, you know.
Right.
They have a different makeup, but it not necessarily if a dog has a problem with beef is he going to have a problem with beef organs. And most of the time, I would venture to say the vast majority of the time, those sensitivities are transitory. They're not permanent. And it's because of something that is some sort of toxic reaction that the dog's having to that particular protein for whatever reason. At that particular point in time, six months from now, may be completely different. So you can't say, oh, my dog can't eat this ever, because that's not really going to be true. They may have an issue with it right now for some reason. And, you know, there's so many variables and so many unknowns and so many, especially if you're talking to somebody that, you know, lives in a different state in a whole different situation, you probably will never know why, you know, but chances are once you clean up whatever's going on with them, they should be able to tolerate it just fine at some point. Not always, but the vast majority of the time that's true.
So, all right, everybody, if you have a pet that appears to be allergic to everything, if you have a routine that you feel like you have just done everything you can and your dog's not getting any better, it is time to sign up with Dr. Neely. I just called you Dr. Neely. It was almost Dr. Neely.
Even if you just have questions, even if you just want to learn more, even if you just are fixing to make the leap, you know, you don't have to have a major problem or anything. Anything.
You make it really simple.
I love talking about food. Yeah. If you have any concerns, or somebody's scared you about something, or you're confused about something, or, you know, because there's so much conflicting evidence out there, you know. Seriously, there is information out there that is like direct polar opposite of each other. And I can totally understand how people that are trying to learn about what to do and how to start and all that just get totally overwhelmed and like confused about all of it, because there's so much out there that is, you know, confusing, and a lot of it doesn't make sense.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of us.
I can totally help you with that.
You're talking about our team and Dr. Ian Billinghurst and Connor Brady. And there's many of us that are purists, right? And I wonder how that is coming across to those whose entire business model is to do a meal plan and then have you add all of this synthetic stuff to it. And I guess I don't do
meal plans. Just so people know, I don't do meal plans. I don't do menus. I don't do recipes. We talk about principles. We talk about your dog. We talk about your situation. We talk about whatever questions you have. And we talk about, basic, solid principles on how to properly feed your dog. And, you know, if you have specific issues or something, we obviously talk about that too. But I'm definitely a purist. I'm definitely hardcore, anti-establishment, anti-Western medicine, very much. So we can talk about that too. Holistic health, homeopathy, traditional Chinese medicine. I do all that stuff.
I think what's really hard on our pet parents is they don't have a holistic vet. Now, from my perspective, from your perspective, we are like, well, we don't really need a vet. I mean, you do need a vet. You need an emergency center that you can go to if something happened to your dog. Right?
Yeah, if your dog gets hit by a car or something, yeah. But that's what I'm trying to do. Like when I said earlier about how I'm doing another year's worth of homeopathy, basically a master's program in homeopathy, because there's not very many truly holistic vets, and there's not very many homeopathic vets. And the ones that are around that are still taking consults and seeing patients are incredibly expensive, have a huge waiting list, and are scattered all throughout the country. So the chances of being close to one of them is pretty slim. So I'm trying to get to a point where, you know, not only can I help you with food and the nutritional component, which is your base. I mean, that's what health is built on, a solid nutritional base, but also just holistic care in general, you know, real natural holistic care, not this faux stuff that these holistic people are spouting, but real.
Oh, I love that word. Holistic stuff. Where did you get that? Did you just now make that up? Holistic?
I think I saw that somewhere. I can't take credit for that. I'm sure I saw it somewhere.
That is amazing. Holistic. Yeah, right. I think you know that pretty fast.
A lot of people will just call it because it's the growing thing. You know, it's the biggest growing thing in the marketplace is raw food and holistic care. And so people will say, oh, well, I'm a holistic vet, or I'm, you know, but they still recommend yearly vaccines and heartworm medication and flea and tick medication and Bravecto and, you know, that kind of stuff. And but they went through a continuing education veterinary acupuncture course. you know, and so they call themselves a holistic vet, or, you know, they don't reprimand you for, they'll do vaccines every 3 years instead of every year, or, you know, something like that, that is still totally bogus and not at all holistic. A true holistic vet will tell you, do not ever vaccinate your dog. A truly holistic vet will tell you, do not ever feed kibble. A truly holistic vet will tell you, do not ever use flea and tick medication. If they're not telling you that, they're not a holistic vet. They're a conventional vet that uses a few quote unquote alternative methods.
Yeah. And so that's hard on our pet parents.
It's what we were talking about earlier. It's hard for people to wrap their head around it, but, I'm not going to chastise somebody for being where they're at, you know, but I'm definitely way down that road. And so, I had to go through it too. I mean, I started where everybody else did. I used to feed kibble. I used to vaccinate. I used to do all that stuff. You know, I started the same place as everybody else. And, you know, even my schooling was in, you know, we talked about that before, is in science and, animal science and biology and all that. And I learned all the stuff everybody else did. I'm in the process of unlearning it, and I'm probably further down that road than a lot of people are, but that just means I can help you see it.
All right. So get over and work with Neely. You can find her on our experts page, Neely Piazza. I guess I need to take that one little line off that says meal plans, because you just said, I don't do meal plans, people.
I've actually only had one person ask me to do that. And I was like, I'm not going to make a recipe and a menu for you. Because where does the variety come in? Where does the fun come in? Where does the, you know, what if you can't get this? What if you can't get that? And, you know, I don't know. It's too structured.
Right. No, I'm going to leave it up there, because then you can tell them how, what meal plans mean to you. Meal plans mean, today we do this and tomorrow we do that. And next week we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. That's a meal plan for you.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's just not, you got to do this and this and that, all these steps.
Yeah, I'm not going to type out a weekly program for you.
No, have fun with it. That's what we do. We just have fun with it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for coming over to Raw Dog Food Truth Podcast. Hey, we are now on Truth Social. You can find the Raw Dog Food Company right there on Truth Social. If you're over there, follow us there. We are also on Twitter, and I like what Elon is doing. So I'm not afraid that we're going to get shut down over Twitter for talking about the vaccine controversy. So that's good. That's good. But for now, come over to rawdogfoodandco.com or rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye, Niels.
Bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.